Welcome back. You're with Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Martin Bomber Bradbury has always been an out-and-proud lefty with many friends in the activist sector. But those friendships have been strained since late on October the 15th, the day of the police Operation 8 raids under the Terrorism Suppression Act, Bomber made a post to Tumeki, the blog he shares with Tim Selwyn. On the basis of what he had learned of the police case from discussions with activists, he predicted that Middle New Zealand would, quote, recoil in horror when the details emerged, and that the police had been right to investigate. He also said he believed that alleged threats were nothing more than arrogant boasts, but that detail got lost in a furious backlash that even extended to a fake bomber posting material on the internet under his name. Well, the details did emerge this week, but not quite in the way everyone might have wished. And Bomber's here to talk with us about the past month. Bomber, hi.
Kia ora, Russell. How you doing?
Not bad. Now, regardless of what you think of the Dompost's actions, is there some sense of personal relief for you, and that at least now everyone knows what is alleged?
I was really surprised by the backlash that I received from the indie media community. It's kind of weird. You never expect to be attacked from your own ideological group. And it was a real surprise that they came after me with the knives out and had a go. And I think that you know, I don't want to hold on to that personally. I think that that's just a sign of the times, that everyone was really freaked out. I mean, Christ, when we first heard, I was getting text messages and phone calls on the morning. My God, did you know such and such has just been arrested? This person's just been arrested. That person's just been arrested. I half expected my own door to get kicked in. We just didn't know what the hell was going on. And so when I rushed down on that Monday to have that, you know, when that first big gathering occurred, and to sit down and go, well, what the hell is going on? Is this a beat up? You know, I mean, I know some of these people who were arrested. For crying out loud, one of the guys is a cameraman at Alt TV. You know, he went missing for 8 days and no one knew who he was because he'd been arrested. You know, when I went down there to find out what was happening, and then this great disappointment, you know, this horror that oh my God, we've got some people who have been doing some very stupid things, and it's going to actually lead the activist community into disrepute. And it was from that basis that, oh no. And also I think a discussion needed to be started amongst the activist community. What do we accept as activism? You know, I mean, for me, it's a principle situation. The second you pick up a gun, man, you're no longer part of a social justice movement. You know,
did you feel that even since then there's been a certain avoiding of the elephant in the room in that respect?
Absolutely. Yeah. There has absolutely been that. You know, this whole they're all as pure as the driven snow, and this is fascism, and this is police bully boy tactics, and all of this sort of stuff completely ignored the fact that at the very centre of this, there were some serious allegations. I mean, if you had been a police officer looking at the evidence, you know, and from what I understand, talking to people who were in that room when that decision was made, there was this feeling of, if something happens and the public knew that we knew, what would the fallout from that be? I mean, it's an awful choice that they were forced to make, but I think there really needs to be a little bit more maturity in the activist community about what do we actually consider activism, because this isn't activism, this is nuts.
There's actually been some quite interesting discussion on Public Address this week about the way the aggrieved parties have handled this in the public sphere, and particularly like the house at 128 Abel Smith Street.
Yep.
You know, they didn't just go out and have a statement for the media, they kind of didn't trust the media and just went about things in quite a strange way.
Yeah, well, I think that plays to the paranoia, you know? I mean, when you're suddenly having the full steer of the state with all its powers, you know, with the fact you've got these ninja police who can suddenly come through your front door, I mean, that's frightening. And these are, at the best of times, paranoid folk, you know? I mean, you've read indie media, you know, some people certainly go out there and spend a lot of time on the fringes. So I think that when you suddenly have that focus and that all-encompassing eye of Mordor upon you, it does make you clam up. But, you know, the sudden rush to defend everything, of, you know, the Uruwera 17 or the Uruwera 16 if you're trying to distance yourself from Jamie Lockett, the sudden, you know, attack of the police and all of this and all of that, I just think was so misguided. And I think that a majority of it came from people who didn't really know the full details. And I also really have to point the finger a little bit at the actual activism, the leadership in the activism community, who knew full well what the full allegations were, right, who right from the beginning knew full well what the allegations were, that at some point those allegations were going to come out, and what was your defence going to be? You know, all of these people who suddenly came in to support the Urawara 17, well, does that mean you support murders so atrocious that people will think it's Al-Qaeda? Is that what you support, you know? And that people have kind of come in very quickly in a defensive formation without really knowing the full facts.
Mm. Do you think there's anything more to come out?
Well,
than well, what we saw
in
the Don Post.
Look, I mean, I think if you followed me around for 15 months and recorded everything I said, you would have me in 20 years, you know, hard time. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff there that hasn't still come out. And I kind of think with what the Dominion Post have done now and the move that they made, I support it in the sense that we had this awful situation before the evidence came out where people honestly were questioning, are the police right? My God. I mean, the actual fundamental trust and faith you have in the police has been shaken, you know? Much more than shooting someone with a claw hammer, or much more than sadomasochistic ritualistic gang rapes, or much more than you know, the overuse of a taser. This cut to the very fundamental fabric of what we are as a society. You know, if you can't trust the cops to get it right on something as serious as terrorism, and that they are overusing their powers, and that, you know, it is a little step suddenly towards fascism, you know, a fascist state, then those are really, really important elements of community trust. And I think that you had to bring the evidence out. You had to actually say, well, look, the cops had a reason, guys. You know, let's just all calm it down. The cops had a reason. But the cost of, I think, of doing that is that you've got to let them go now. You can't actually progress with the Arms Act charges because there's no way they can get a fair trial.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I even wonder whether whoever leaked that saw that as a potential outcome and thought, well, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that that's what the Dominion Post did. You know, I think that they actually sat down and that was the discussion. And if you look at the editorial, that's certainly the position they're coming from. You know, look, the New Zealand's faith in the cops, as much as I'm certainly not pro-police, and I've been a very loud critic of the police for many years, you still need a police service in your democracy, right? You still need to have an arm of government which can keep law and order. And if the fundamentals, to the point and to the degree that they came up in this situation, have been questioned and their credibility questioned, we had to, as an issue of public interest, we had to have that sorted and settled. What the ramifications are now, oh God knows. I mean, I think a lot of New Zealand were very sympathetic at first. And, you know, this was just so over the top. We don't have this sort of thing go on in New Zealand. But now I think the tide is turning. I mean, my God, you listen to Michael Laws, you listen to Leighton Smith, and you listen to any of the right-wing commentators. Well, certainly same here. But that, I mean, this is a home goal, unlike anything they've ever had, you know. And the fear for me now is that the security spiders will go to start, you know, weaving their little pieces of law for domestic terrorism, which will be very, very frightening. You know, the amount of powers that will be expanded for them. I mean, look at Helen Clark this week saying that perhaps the level of surveillance powers should be extended to other pieces of legislation. My God, these are serious issues now, you know? And I don't think the activist community have done themselves any favours by running around with bloody AK-47s, wearing balaclavas. Middle New Zealand's not going to get that. They're not going to go, oh, they're just mucking around and playing. That freaks them out. People with AK-47s and balaclavas freak anyone out. And the activist community have done themselves such a disservice by, one, allowing this to go on. And come on, people knew what was going on in the activism community. They knew about these camps going on, the Urawaras. They knew about it and sort of tacitly supported it. And then quickly created this defence position around, which everyone rallied to. And now they look like idiots, you know?
Just finally, the other thing that struck me was, you know, just going back to the start of the interview, the bitterness of the response. I mean, presumably seen yourself, you know, referred to as Martin Fraudbury and Chris Trotter as Chris Traitor for stepping out of line. And we had Disinfo Bomber, the fake you. Has Disinfo Bomber gone away yet?
No, well, and this is one of the crazy things. When I started criticising the activist community and just saying, come on, guys, this isn't the way we win our fight. You don't pick up a gun for crying out loud. We fight this with ideas, with actions, and in terms of activism, look, I agree with symbolic destruction of some things here and there. You know, I certainly supported Tim putting the axe through the Prime Minister's window. I support people stealing chickens out of cages. I support even scratching up SUVs, you know, and if you get caught, you man up and you face those consequences. That's my threshold. you know, symbolic damage. But my Lord, picking up a gun, who are you going to shoot? Who are you going to, you know? And for me, it's an issue of principle. And I think that we lost that. We've always had the moral high ground in this country, social activism. But with this, my God, it's tainted. And so the very bitterness that came out. I mean, we had this person who created a fake, they stole my blogger identity and started posting all over the blogosphere very racist, homophobic crap that I would never say, for crying out loud. And only recently, when it was suggested that maybe the details of the transcripts would be printed on Tumeki, someone had sort of said, well, maybe we should do it here. The second that came out, someone created, the same disinfo bomber, created a fake website of Tumeki in the hopes of completely discrediting or muddying the waters, or, you know, that sort of stuff. And the level of anger and literally, you know, you're a traitor sort of thing, completely staggers me. And for me, it is an issue of it's a matter of principle. You just don't pick up guns. And anyone else who really does want to support that or back that to the point of trying to slander me or defame me or in any way discredit me because of that stance, I think they need to take a good, long, hard look at themselves, because this isn't the way we do this.
Martin Bomber Bradbury there, and you can read more of his writings and those of Tim Selwyn at their blog Tumeki. That's www.tumeki.blogspot.com. After the break, David Haywood looks at the 19th century and the second law of thermodynamics.